Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Well, welcome to another Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Noonday Bible Study, where we are studying the Word of God in the book of Acts, where we're dealing with the Acts of the Holy Ghost through the apostles. We are so excited about what God is doing. We are Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockton, Georgia, where our senior pastor is Bishop Kevin J. Jones. Our co-founder is Archbishop Ruth W. Smith. And we are so excited about what God is doing in our midst. So today we want to open with prayer. We're going to ask Sister Ollie if she don't mind opening up with prayer today.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Glory,
thank
glory,
you, Lord.
Glory, glory to the name thank of Jesus. You, Father, we come before you once more, Father,
yes,
during noonday prayer, Father. We pray, Father, right now,
yes,
in the name of Jesus, Father, that you will have your way,
yes,
in this service, Father. We pray, Father, that you will direct us, that you will order us through your word, Father, that we would rightly divide the word of truth, Father. We pray that you would just let your anointing, Father, just saturate this area, Father. We pray, Father, that yokes would be broken, Father. We pray, Father, that you bless those who are ill, Father, those who are going through, Father. We thank you, Father, because you are so worthy to be praised, Father. We thank you for this day, Father, because it was not promised to us, Father. But, Lord, you have blessed us, Father. And, Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you will continually look upon the brother fields, Father, that you will bless them, Father, that you will order their step, Father, that they will be obedient to your word, Father. And I thank you, Father.
Thank you.
I pray, Father, that you will bless us to come on one accord, Father, even on the phone and even in the building, Father,
yes,
that we will come on one accord, Father. And we thank you in advance, Father. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you. And we adore you, Father. And we will not take your glory, Father, because the glory belongs to you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my God, what an awesome day to be alive. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Thank you. Greetings. Welcome those of you who have called in. He wants you to press 1 on your phone if you're background is conducive. Press 1 on your phone so we can bring you live. We want to hear what you have to say. Amen. We want to hear what thus said the Lord through you. Amen. We thank God. I think we have a newlywed on the line, Pastor Clifford Fair. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for him and his newly wife. Amen. Yeah, y'all know Pastor Fair. Amen. They miss you, but he's with us. He's been with us on our broadcast since almost 10 years now. He's been here doing Holy Convocation. We thank God for all of you who are here. We thank God we have one of our intern, amen, Sister Smith, amen, in our midst, joining us, and all those of you who are here. We thank God for this day, amen. We're excited about what God is doing. And, you know, we typically just give you a recap on where we are as far as the scripture. We're starting at Acts, the 26th chapter, and we're all the way down to verse 29. Almost ready to close out chapter 6. Amen. We see where Paul has been given his defense now to King Agrippa. And, we saw last week where as soon as he mentioned about resurrection of the dead, Festus got upset and begin to call him crazy. And you know, people, when you begin to say what thus said the Lord, people are going to call you crazy. But like Paul said, you cannot be moved by what people say. And even he didn't even spend any time talking to Festus. He just let Festus know that, okay, you keep what you got, and I know what I know. And so we see where coming down to the end, he began to say even to King Agrippa, I know you believe. I know you know the words of the prophet, and I know you believe. Mm-hmm. And like we were saying last week, even though King Agrippa did not get converted, he mm-hmm. still knows mm-hmm. the truth.
Yeah.
And there's something about the truth. You can't deny it, but you may not want to live by it. You may not want to do it, but you know it's the truth anyway.
mm-hmm.
You know, and so Paul began to tell Agrippa, I know you know, and I know that you believe.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Agrippa, hey, back up now. Don't take it that far. I know what you're talking about, but you almost, oh my goodness, King Agrippa said, you almost had me, almost persuade me to believe. And so to become, not only to believe, but to become one of y'all.
mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. And we know King Agrippa well what he's talking about, because his granddaddy and all of them are the one who killed Jesus and all that, so they know.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what was going on. And so he said, well, you almost persuaded him to be a Christian. And you know King Agrippa had to be following what's going on with Paul in the church
mm-hmm.
because they were first called Christian at Antioch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's from Jerusalem. I mean, he's from, you know, Rome, right? So, but he knows because he's been keeping up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, news spread, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, so Paul is not swayed by what Festus said when he got upset that Paul talking about resurrection of the dead. You got to be drunk and crazy. Now, that's something when somebody call you crazy, but they call you drunk too. Anyway, we thank God. So this is where we are right now. We just the last verse we talked, mentioned on last week was verse 28, where King Agrippa said, Paul almost now persuaded me to become a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So today we're starting with verse 29. We're almost to the end of this chapter. Oh, my goodness. And so we know, again, while we're going through this book of Acts, we know that we have to see the main theme of the book is the action of the Holy Ghost through the apostles. The act of the Holy Ghost through the apostles, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So whenever we read, whatever we do, let us zoom in and see how the Holy Ghost is moving in the lives of the apostle. And the apostle we talk about at this point is Paul. So we're going to start with any comments before we get started? Welcome, welcome all. Yes, ma'am.
Almost. That let me know Paul had his attention. He was paying attention to what was going on. Because he said, you almost persuaded me. So, therefore, when we witness to people, we may think we don't have their attention, but we do. Sometimes they don't come out and tell us,
mm-hmm.
but we have their attention. So the best thing to do, you know, when you witness and they don't give you an answer, show them love and keep walking. You know, you can't get an attitude. Paul never did get an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we like to get an attitude because, see, I've been saved for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't realize, I can learn from a little child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just pick up on what Sister Weber was saying, because also almost could be like Pastor said,
mm-hmm.
uh-huh, that he know, and he know it all and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Almost could be that he doesn't want to admit anything in public, too,
mm-hmm.
and he might be like Nicodemus.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Yeah, he believed, but he almost but he needed to go by night and get a
right.
little bit more
right.
information
right.
to be fully
well,
persuaded.
Yeah. Oh. Man, come on now.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. So we thank God because when you deliver the word of God and through the leading of the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
hearts are going to be touched.
Yeah.
Sure. Hearts are going to be ministered to no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have an opportunity to reject it. And, you know, when you while we're talking about this subject, I began to think yesterday how that there was a time that Bishop told us to start a Bible study in our house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was, quote-unquote, to see if we can start a ministry or a
mm-hmm.
church or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I began to look at the people who are not there anymore, who passed away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They had an opportunity to be ministered to.
Mm-hmm.
They were in our house being ministered to
mm-hmm.
before they passed on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was
yeah.
like, Lord. That's what it was all about. We thought it was something else.
Mm-hmm.
But God had God would provide you a pulpit, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You ain't
yeah.
got to search and run and try to share somebody else's pulpit or beg for somebody else's pulpit. God has your pulpit for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked, I was washing cars in the yard yesterday, and I began to think about the neighbors who are not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, God, even people who was living some alternative lifestyle
mm-hmm.
had an opportunity to hear
mm-hmm.
the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're not here anymore, but they had an opportunity.
Yeah.
And so
mm-hmm.
God is so good to all of us,
yeah.
no
yeah.
matter who we are,
mm-hmm.
that wherever we are here, make sure you get an opportunity
mm-hmm.
to hear the gospel.
The gospel, yeah.
Oh my!
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just begin to think of, I start thinking about all those folks who just
went
gone.
On.
They went
mm-hmm.
on. Next, I mean, next, right,
mm-hmm.
next, right?
Right, yeah.
And I begin to think about it, but God had had a way to get the word to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even if they never went to another church, never
right.
hear anything else on the radio, never hear anything,
mm-hmm.
they heard. They came religiously
mm-hmm.
to those Bible studies.
Mm-hmm.
They came and they were participating.
Mm-hmm.
They were seeking the truth.
Seeking the truth, yeah.
They were, I mean, we were shocked.
Yeah.
Okay. But God has a way
yeah.
to present the gospel. Now, King Agrippa came to celebrate with Festus. He didn't come to hear Paul. He thought he was just coming to, hey, let's boogie down, you know. We're going to celebrate your new appointment.
Mm-hmm.
That's what his thing was. He didn't come to hear the gospel, but
right.
here come the gospel.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but he...
Amen.
Just a reminder is that, too, long after we have gone and left their presence, you said they had gone on, we must remember the word tells us that that Holy Ghost does a perfect work.
Yes.
So even after we leave,
yes.
if we left the word of mm-hmm. the Holy Ghost,
that's right.
he is still perfecting and performing
mm-hmm.
his perfect work.
Mm-hmm.
Because as part of Trinity,
mm-hmm.
he can't do nothing else but be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So that resounding word is still going on in that person's life.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
The word almost is not going to unlock them doors to heaven, like you were talking about on Sunday. Almost is not going to get us in there.
Amen.
So we got to know fully.
I'd be fully persuaded.
Because almost is like a question mark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're almost persuaded me. Almost. That's not going to get us where we need to be going. It'll get you to go down, but not up. But, you know, it'll get you in those directions. That's if you want to stay in that direction.
Mm. Oh, Jesus. Say 99 and a half won't do, huh?
Make 100.
Gotta make a
hundred. Okay, so now we're going to start on verse 29 and 30. Elder David.
You want to start this first? And Paul said, I would to God.
Acts 26.
You're
probably right. I'm trying to tell her.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Acts 26, verse 29. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou or you, but also all that hear me this day would be almost and altogether such as I am, except these bones. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with him. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or bonds. Then you see the similarity with another prisoner that went before the king, and he said, what has this man done? So now here come Paul, and they come out with the same conclusion. Well, what have this? I don't see anything that this man has done to warrant death or even being in bondage or being in prison. So as it passes on down through the generations, when we go before our Maker, he looks at us the same way. We have done nothing to deserve what we have done it, but it's been cleared away because of the blood of Jesus. So now our innocence, we can claim our innocence or pray our innocence because of the word of God. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So now Paul is really on the way to ministering to a bunch of people who had at one time the same mentality of Paul. Then one time, wasn't too long ago, Paul was in the same camp that they were. And now Paul is being used as an instrument to persuade them, to give them to at least see the whole truth. Because when they were persecuting Christians and killing Christians, they saw the truth that they wanted to see. They pretty much saw the power that they had by being on top of the ladder. And now that you see what's really important, it's not just about the ones who are on top. It's about the ones from the bottom to the top, from the top to the bottom. Everybody, you know. In Romans 1:16, it says, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone or anyone that believes.
That believe.
I don't care whether you are the king or whether you're working in the field or whether you're feeding the hogs and cows. Salvation is still available to you. So Paul finally got it. He thought he was doing the right thing. Now he finally got it. And now he's trying to convince others to see the light, you know. So you can see a light, but what color light are you seeing? Are you seeing a flashing blue light, a flashing red light, a flashing yellow light, or do you see a green light? Five people can look at the same lights, but they see different lights. You know, Paul's trying to get them, show them how to see the right light, the green light, which should take you up to heaven.
Yes. All right. Okay. Awesome.
And I thought you was going to say that Paul is saying the same thing, and you didn't bring it out, but I think that's what you were inferring, that Jesus was judged, and Pilate to say, I found no fault. Ain't no reason for this man to be put to death. Same way these guys are saying, this man ain't done no wrong. And what I like about this is, again, see how the Holy Ghost is using Paul's words when he said, I would that all of you, not just King Agrippa, I wish that all of you, everybody in here, would be saved. He said, just like I am, except. Now, listen to what he's saying now. You know, sometimes if we want people to be feel Israelites company, right? But Paul said, I want y'all to be just like me, except. Oh, my God. I wish you were just like me.
Just like me.
Only thing I don't want for you is to be chained up. Because the word I just said to you, God Almighty, will set you free.
Yeah.
Well, my testimony that I just shared with you should be able to set you free. And so when he began to say that, I thought about when Jesus was on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. He had the same compassion for them, even though it was coming after him.
Yeah.
Remember, they were on a path trying to kill Paul, right? I mean, they were really want him dead. My mama said, graveyard dead, right? They want him dead, but he had compassion. I wish all of you would be saved. Just like me, without these bonds on it, with no shackles, because the word of God would set you free. And when Bernie, you know how wicked she was, all of them heard that and said, hey, when you really look at this, this man is not guilty. But this man is not guilty. He ain't done nothing to deserve death. Or even his chains is on him. Even being in prison. And so many times we're caught in circumstances that we don't belong there. But it's the purpose that got us there. It's the will of God that put us there because he has something for us to do. So a lot of times we think that, why me? Why not you? Because whatever you're called to, that's what you got to go through.
Yeah, that's right.
Because in order for you to fulfill purpose, and you know, Judas had his purpose.
Yeah,
somebody had to betray
Jesus. Yeah.
And Judas was chosen for that very purpose. And so we all have our purpose. So no matter where we have to go, what we have to go through, sometimes it feels hard, it feels heavy, that why do I have to go through this? I mean, one thing after another. But God already equipped you for that. Paul did not even think about his own self. Yeah, he is in chains, but he's thinking about the people. I don't wish this on y'all. But if it was us, some of us, we would say, what's good for the group? It's good for the gender, right? When Paul is in compassion, he don't want this to be on you at all.
That's right.
And like he said earlier when they was prophesying to him, I don't care about being bond. I'm ready to die. And so whatever we go through, we have to have the mindset that God has us in this place.
And he has
us here. We're in the will of God. In the best and safest place you can be is in the will of God. And so when you're in his will, if his will be done, everything else going to be all right.
You
know, some of the things because we have done in our life is going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. Paul is a perfect example of, you know, things that is going on. This is what I'm trying to say. It's just right there. Sometimes the Lord will order us to do certain things, and we begin to grumble. We begin to complain. Now, Lord, why are you going to allow me to go through this and that? I'm just not going to do it, you know, because I kind of feel like if I'm going through it and I'm a child of God and that person is da-da-da, this and that, why do I have to do this and that? God didn't ask me what I wanted to do. He gave me an order to do something. And when he gives us an order, that's what he expects for us to do. He's not going to make me do it now. I can either go to the left or I can go to the right. It's up to me. But what's going to happen, the choices that I make going to determine the outcome for my life. So, you know, we have to be careful with that. And what I love about Paul, even though he was going through a lot, he didn't sit around and think about what he was going through. He was busy about the Father business. The same way Jesus said, He came to fulfill the Father's business.
Yes.
And Paul did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way the Lord wants us to be. Now,
mm-hmm.
we can get up in church and talk it all day long.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to doing,
yeah.
we do nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if someone want to have a talk with Sister Ali about that, I'll be more than happy. I have no problem.
Okay.
Okay,
Number four, do you have anything?
Good afternoon, Pastor Butterfield. I'll just say this, that if you remember that all the time that Paul was giving his testimony and speaking before King Agrippa, he never once complained about the fact that he was being held captive, he was a prisoner, or he was in chains. And the reason for that is he was so committed to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was more free in his chains spreading the gospel than any of those who were listening to him. So he was not a worry to Paul about his chains. He knew he was in the vein of God, in the flow of God, doing God's will, and chains did not even matter. And as Sister Ali said, Paul is the perfect example. He's the perfect example to all of us today that when we have a job to do for God, for his son, with the Holy Spirit working through us, no matter what negativity we see or hear, those are just chains that do not matter. We are just to be faithful to the Lord, our Savior, to preach his gospel, and God will see us through. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Right.
Any comments? Any other comments? Amen. So we got one verse left in chapter 22.
Mm-hmm.
Emily, mm-hmm. you want to give us that one verse?
Mm-hmm. That'd be a New American Standard Version. And this reads, and Agrippa said to Festus, this man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. So, love it. That's what he thinks.
Yeah, right.
You know, but Paul had an assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And back a few chapters ago when he first ran into Festus, he was telling me, he said, I've done nothing wrong against the Jewish people, against the synagogue, or against Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
He said,
mm-hmm.
but now that I'm here, you know, I'm going to give my testimony to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in this particular one, you have to be very careful how cunning the enemy is, who he will use, and people don't think they're being used sometimes in a cunning way.
Mm-hmm.
But we can go back to, he had a testimony in, let me see, I'm going back to 23:11.
Mm-hmm.
But on the night immediately following, the Lord stood at his side and said, take courage, for as you have solemnly witnessed to me, to my cause in Jerusalem, so you must witness at Rome also.
Mm-hmm.
So here he is, and this man telling him, oh, you could have got off easy
mm-hmm.
without going to Rome if you hadn't appealed to go to Caesar.
Yeah.
But he had an assignment, you know,
mm-hmm.
to get, hey,
yeah.
and he had an assignment to get there to Rome
mm-hmm.
to Caesar. So it seemed like it was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody might tell us that, oh, if you hadn't done so-and-so, here, let me help you. Let me do this and the other for you.
Right,
but then you
right.
have to think back what your assignment is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, I think of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and, you know, his assignment, you know, just before he was assassinated, was to give that particular speech, and he had seen, You know, he's going to the mountaintop. He had looked over. He had seen the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know we haven't gotten there yet to finish this particular book, but I remember once that running through my head when we got there to minister this part, that Paul was even in chains and being what he was under guard, that he could just say, Rome at last, Rome at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm at Rome at last.
Right.
You know, Martin Luther King led Israel. Now Paul said, no, I'm going to Rome. God done started this thing, but it
right.
don't finish till God say it's over. Because
right.
the Lord told him he was going to Rome.
Uh-huh.
So don't try to make it easy. Say, if you had an appeal to this or this, say, he,
right.
you know,
right.
he
right.
knew what he
right.
was doing. And so here comes Johnny come lately. Oh, man, you could have gotten off from all this. You don't open your big mouth. No, I done, you know, I'm fulfilling an
purpose.
Assignment. Y'all shouldn't have never locked me up and had me in here. Now you got to go through with the whole kit and caboodle.
You know, I'll just add to that, if I may.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Hold
okay,
on.
That's
sure.
It's amazing how when you get here, you know you didn't have to go through all of this or whatever.
Yeah,
it's,
right.
it's just like, wow, why? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's something else, though.
Gotta
change your mind.
All right, M4. Thank you.
Yes, Pastor Ann. I just wanted to say, here we are in chapter 26. But just like Elder Heath said, if you go back to chapter 9 in Acts, verse 15,
okay.
Paul indeed was on assignment. I'll just read that for you very quickly. And it reads as follows, Acts 9:15. But the Lord said
okay.
to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Paul, indeed, was on assignment. So, yes, he was to appeal to Caesar so that he could complete what he needed to do. And I'll just add on one other thing very quickly. Going back to verse 30, if you notice, when he said these things, the king stood up, as well as the governor and Bernice and those who sat with him. At that point, King Agrippa had enough, heard enough, and he says, you know what? I need to get on out of here because this guy is touching too close to home for me. He almost had me persuaded, and if I stay here a minute longer, it's going to look bad for me because, yes, indeed, I do believe in the prophets. I do believe in Moses. So, of course, because of what happened in history, I should be believing in Jesus also. So let me make my quick exit and get out of here so I can save face. But as you can see, his conclusion, this man did nothing deserving of death or chains. So all of the scriptures being fulfilled, Paul has an opportunity to speak to the people, bring the gospel, and persuade others, plant the seed, and now he's going to finish his assignment by going to Rome, as Elder Heath said, and now appealing to King Caesar. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
When I see the scripture, I think about how that when Jesus told his disciples that I'm going to be put to death, and they said, no, be far from it. Peter like, nobody going to kill you. But not knowing, that's a fulfillment. It has to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of his purpose. And so the same thing here, that Agrippa wished that he could have overturned it. Because now Paul has really got him. Paul has really got him now. He done got softened up. He done got soft up to Paul. So he done got soft up to Paul. And so now he wants to, what can I do? This man needs to be set free. With my hands are tied. A Roman citizen demands to be heard by Caesar. I cannot do anything against that. This is the law I cannot overturn.
Right.
I'm a king, yeah, but I cannot overturn this because he's a Roman citizen who demanded to be heard by Caesar. You see? And so Jesus, I could not overturn what God said. He tried to. He said, hey, if there's another way, let's try some else. Can we try some else? If there's another way, take this cup from me. But he said, nevertheless,
not my will,
but thine be done. So in the same instance, Paul didn't have to say it, but it's being said.
Mm-hmm.
Because King Agrippa says, this man need to get set free. But because of who he is and what he said, you got to go to Rome.
Gotcha.
And not knowing that that's the whole purpose of him being in front of you is to get his turf.
Amen.
And I think also Pastor Butterfield, too, how many times have people maybe said to us, you us, everyone, oh, I wouldn't do that if I were you, or I wouldn't be in that, all you got to do. But, you know, you may not have my assignment. And that's what he was, in essence, saying, man, if you open your mouth too soon, you don't even have to go. If you hadn't have said so-and-so, you wouldn't have to go to Rome. And people will say that. Well, I wouldn't do that if I was you. Yeah, but you do have your own assignment. And they can't see far enough into what God has commissioned for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so true. Okay.
I can recall a time earlier in ministry for me. Mm-hmm. I was married to a pastor's wife. I'm a former pastor's wife. I'm sorry. And people used to always ask me, are you sure that's what you want to do? Because for me, growing up in church all of my life, I was a church kid, and I was very close to my pastor and wife. And I saw the things that my first lady went through, and I was like, yeah, I'm not cut for that. I'm cut from a different cloth. That's just not... I'm not made for this.
Mm-hmm.
However, God orchestrated my life to go in that path, and I became a pastor's wife, and I would ask those questions like, God, what am I doing here? Why would I do this? And people would always ask me, why are you a pastor's wife? Or why are you saying yes to that assignment?
Mm-hmm.
But when I think about everything that I've gone through, it was for my making. It was, this is why I am who I am today. This is why I'm able to be so much more effective in my calling and in my ministry, because if I hadn't gone down that road, if I had not experienced the betrayal, the heartbreak, and just the things that you experience as a leader in ministry, I would not be the person that I am today. So who God definitely calls, he qualifies.
Yes.
And so sometimes people can, like you said, Mother, they can try to get you off your course. We have to stay in tune with God and stay in tune and connected to the Holy Spirit and follow his guidance, because it's only his guidance that will continue to lead us into a path of righteousness and fulfillment of that calling. I had to minister years ago, and I did a sermon on how it's bigger than you. Sometimes the assignment, the call, it's a heavy, heavy thing, but we have to always bring our focus back into perspective. Sometimes it gets cloudy, it gets foggy. We don't always understand it, because sometimes we ask God, we're human. God, why did you choose me? And Pastor, when I came in this morning, I'm sure you saw that I was kind of heavy because I've been experiencing loss after loss. But to God be the glory, those that have transitioned, they are believers. And I know that they are rejoicing now because they no longer have to worry about
what that's right. That's right.
But Pastor told me this morning, he said, God allowed it because you're grace for it. In so many words, you're grace to do it. So along with the assignment, we are great to do what we do. And so we have to stay focused. We have to stay on track no matter what people say, because people will talk us out of our blessing. They will talk us out of the assignment that God has called us if we listen to them and not listen to the Holy Spirit. So thank you for just elaborating on that. This Bible study is rich. I'm really enjoying it.
Okay.
And I just wanted to kind of piggyback on that, just to kind of stay on that same track, that it is so important that we listen to God and not listen to man, and stay
true
to what the assignment and the purpose is. Because really and truly, and I'm really going to close, really and truly, it's not even about us. It's about the other person. It's like when God, when Jesus was telling Simon, he said, listen, there's going to come a time to where something's going to come up on you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to allow that thing to happen in your life, but it's not about whether or not I'm going to bring you out. It's not if, it's when.
Mm-hmm.
So when I bring you out, not W-H-E-N, but W-I-N, we're a part of the winning team. We're a part of the winning circle. So we don't lose it with God. It's a fixed fight. So we have to see that end result and know that when God brings us through, it's for us to let our other brother or our sister know that he's a deliverer.
Yeah.
He can bring us through.
That's
God, we have to see about it.
Yeah. Awesome. God, I preach that.
Don't go too fast.
That's great. That's great.
I can answer that, Pastor Ann.
Hold on a minute, Elder Ford.
I just want to piggyback a little bit off what First Lady over here said. And then I tell people all the time, the fight is already fixed, just step in the ring. That all God wants to do is just show up, and he's going to do his part. And many times we always swayed by what we call close friends or whatever, but your closest friend is Jesus.
That's right.
You call, like you said, you qualify, and people try to tell you, oh, why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? I ask them, why not?
Yeah.
Why you? Why not me?
Mm-hmm.
When we going through stuff, we ask God, why God? We say, why not?
Why not?
Because, I, like he said, I've graced you and I've strengthened you for this time such as this, so let's go through it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we make the process part about fighting again.
That's
and when we focus on the problem and not focusing on God, that delays
that's
the process.
It. Yeah.
But when we do what God has ordained us to do, preaching his word and you talking to people and you telling people, God already been gonna fix the problem. You done went to stage four and you have to look back and like, oh wow. That's over with? Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All the while it was fixed, we just couldn't see it.
Oh yeah. And that scripture here talks about the fact that everything works for the good of them that love the Lord and the call according to his purpose. And so that is one thing that we have to keep in mind as well, that no matter what happens in our life, no matter what happens, God is there to bring you on through that thing that you have to go through. Elder Ford. Elder Ford.
Yeah.
Elder Ford, you there?
I am here. I just wanted to say, yes, ma'am. I just wanted to say briefly that the difference between Paul and King Agrippa is basically when both of those gentlemen had an opportunity, Paul surrendered. Paul surrendered. And King Agrippa did not. And that is the key. When you have surrendered yourself to the Lord, he will speak you. He will guide you. He will be a lamp unto your feet. He will order your steps. And please allow me to say this very quick story about what happened to me at the last street light. As you know, you and Pastor Butterfield saw me directing traffic and telling people where to go to park cars. And there were so many cars, we had to literally invent parking spaces for them to fit in. But everybody was on one accord. Everybody was in a good mood. Everybody was cooperating. But it went on for hours after hour after hour. So here we are at I would say the last half an hour of street life, and it's been going on for hours, and I said, you know what, I'm feeling a little tired. Let me go get a chair out of my car so I could just sit for 5 minutes, just 5 minutes. So I get the chair, and I'm ready to sit down, and I heard the Lord say, just take a picture. Take a picture of the stage right now. So I get my phone, and I walk up to where I could walk straight to the side where the police tape was, blocking off the people who were sitting to take a picture. I take the picture, and in my mind I said, okay, that's done. Let me go. I'm going to finally sit down. And at that moment, there was a young man standing next to me, Pastor Ann, Pastor Butterfield. And I found out, because he asked me questions about the church. Who's this singing? Where are y'all from? What's the name of your church? And we got into this whole discussion. And long story short, I gave him one of our business cards for the church, invited him to Light of the World. And this past Sunday, when you saw me stand up behind that brother, his name is Mustafa, and he was very clear. I do have a Muslim name, but I'm a Christian. But street life put so much into me, I feel like I want to get baptized. He came to church, as you saw, and now he's in growth track. He wants to be a member, and he wants to be a part of our church. Just from my interaction of being obedient,
awesome.
Just to take a picture,
awesome.
Put me in the right place. Amen. So
Amen.
I can say that to say Paul is our example. Even when we're tired, listen to the voice of God. Listen to the voice of God. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Good deal. Good deal. Good deal. Awesome. Awesome.
Amen. Amen. And that's what
thank God.
I'm telling you, when we go through the book
thank
of
God,
you got to realize it's the movement of the act of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Through these apostles, the act of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Stir up and before.
We're
going to take a picture. And where to go? Where to go? Timing had to be right. God is he's so good. Oh my God. He would lead you. I mean, in the right place, the right timing, and the person gonna be ready. That's another thing.
You're gonna be ready.
You're gonna have the heart of the person ready to receive what you gotta give.
That's right.
And I was teaching a lesson on Saturday night on our broadcast about the search and rescue part. That's who we are, because Jesus said, I came to seek and to save, which is lost. And how Zacchaeus went ahead trying to want to get Jesus' attention. Because when somebody is ready, they're gonna be ready. You just gotta be in coming. You gotta be just coming to where they are. They gonna be God gonna have them ready for you.
Exactly.
Ooh, you worked it out. So that's an awesome testimony, Elder Ford.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And you
let me just add this.
Go ahead.
I'll just say this very quickly. Very quickly, here's the joke now. I finally finished with this young man, and I say, okay, now I can rest and have a seat. And then what happened? The skies opened up, and that rainstorm came, and it was time for everybody to go.
Yeah.
So I had to direct the traffic. I had to direct traffic for everybody who was parked to leave safely. So I never got a chance to sit, but I'm standing for the glory of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you for the Lord. Amen. 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 For I tell you, y'all was doing a great job out there. Y'all was doing a great job.
Thank
security
you.
And all
thank
of
you.
That. Man, y'all was doing a great job. So we praise God. And we praise God that we seen the manifestation on Sunday. That young man, two men came in here and joined on Sunday. So one of them was that guy that you talked to. We thank God for that. Yes. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Any other comment?
Okay.
I didn't really hear it.
You couldn't hear it. Okay, I'm sorry.
But timing is important. I know sometimes we think it's not. Timing is very important because we can step out at the wrong time and mess up the whole thing. And sometimes the Lord... you know, sometimes in church, we really have to be careful because the Lord's not going to use everybody. And I don't care how sedated I may think I am, how much of tithes I think I pay, how I need to be up. The Lord's not going to even use me because my motive is wrong. When we come into church, we have different motives. I know we would never admit that, but we do. God's going to use who wants. He's going to use who would allow him to let them be used. That's who God used. And he's going to use someone who's humble.
not someone that want to be seen. Look at what I did on Sunday. I got up and, you know, boasting about it. God don't operate in that. I'm not saying that about you, bruh, because you know I'll tell you. But I'm not saying that about you. But I'm just saying that.
I know that. Okay. I know.
Yeah, okay, I love you. Okay,
all right. Oh, God.
It's about surrendering to the Holy Ghost. Because
mm-hmm.
he has the time.
Mm-hmm.
He has the timing because mm-hmm. sometime in the service, God wants somebody just to run.
Mm-hmm.
And that act of running bursts something out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't do it when you're supposed to, and you do it afterward,
mm-hmm.
and nothing's going to happen. And nothing's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so.
You know, if the Lord said, one thing the Lord told me to do something and I said on it, he used somebody else.
Yeah, that's
he just used somebody
yeah.
else to do
Most
it.
Definitely. That's right. That's right. He will. And that's
speaking
the same
of,
way with God. Okay.
With God is he know who going to obey.
Yeah, yeah.
Before he asks you.
Mm-hmm.
He knows.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God, ain't nothing surprises God.
Mm-mm.
He slapped me one day and told me that. You think I'm surprised by this?
Mm-mm.
Before you got there.
You hear that other four?
I'm laughing.
You were born. I knew this was coming. I was like, well, what can you do about it? Well, you let me go through this stuff. You do all the time. You know, you think of somebody else and they know you, this is going to happen to you. They should do
right.
something about it, right?
Right, right.
He said, no, I already know. But you're going to be better for this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's
yeah.
a reason why this is in your life. It's just like a caterpillar.
Mm.
When he gets in that cocoon, if he don't learn when he begins to transform into a butterfly,
mm-hmm.
if he don't use his wings to get out of that cocoon,
mm-hmm.
he'll never fly.
Mm-hmm.
He'll never fly.
Mm-hmm.
So while you're in that cocoon, you gotta bust yourself out. He ain't breaking you out.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we want somebody to come deliver us.
Yeah, yeah.
Come help us out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, God got a way where he wants you to depend on him so bad,
yeah.
he would remove
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
those people who've always been there for
yeah,
you.
No. Yeah.
We can always, you ain't never worried about money because you can always borrow something. Cousin so-and-so,
yeah,
my uncle
right.
so-and-so,
mm-hmm.
he going to see me through.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, this day, you ask cousin so-and-so.
He ain't got it.
Listen, I ain't got it. You think God and the world are turning against you. But no, God said, now,
mm-hmm.
come to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm your source.
Mm-hmm.
And so God will do that just
mm-hmm.
to help us.
Mm-hmm.
So we can get better and know him better.
Mm-hmm.
The more you go through,
mm-hmm.
the more you're going to know him.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't going to do that but drive by
right.
the train no more.
Right, right.
And you're going to be slinging some snot. What are you going through?
Yeah, just a few minutes back, Pastor Butterfield, when you were speaking, you said strategy. And the thing about it, that's what it is, and with like with Brother Ford's testimony, because Holy Ghost
mm-hmm.
is the strategic mover
mm-hmm.
of God's words and everything. So,
mm-hmm.
and his strategy is in moving through unctioning. So ever since Genesis, the strategy of he takes what God says and then he hovered over and the Holy Ghost. So ever since then, and he has this strategy. And then when Sister Weber was talking about timing, and of course it's all a military procedure that when a lot of times we say in the, what is it, the something of time or in the fullness of time, well, that fullness is taken from a word sort of like when, you know, chronos, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the military strategy is in the milieu,
mm-hmm.
in that milieu, that instant, that moment. That's when God sent his son.
Mm-hmm.
And then so this strategy that Holy Ghost uses for all of us, and the other part, it works through obedience.
Oh,
so when he was saying
mm-hmm.
each time, that he did it, and that soul came,
mm-hmm.
and so when and Sister Ollie was just saying she was getting this unctioning from the Holy Spirit, and she didn't get up and move. Mm-hmm. And somebody else, God used somebody else, and I could mm-hmm. imagine saying, oh, man, I heard that from the Lord. I was supposed to get up and do that or move on up. So uh-huh. in the military strategy of this frontline movement, Holy Ghost uses us, you know, wherever, mm-hmm. in a service, mm-hmm. in a grocery store,
that's
or
right.
whatever.
That's right. And, you know, with the, even when you preach,
mm-hmm.
when you preach and you have your points down,
mm-hmm.
and then you end up not talking about that particular point, and then somebody else get up after you done finished,
mm-hmm.
and then they talk about that point. Oh, I forgot that.
Yep.
That is a good thing to know, that now God is still, he's still manifesting that. So you don't even have to be concerned about the fact that you didn't do it. But just think about it. God is still using somebody to bring forth what needs to be said, so you didn't need to say it. I used to feel so bad when I used to do that, and then someone get up and say what I was intending to say. Hey, dog, I was supposed to say that. Oh, dog, why didn't I say that? I wasn't supposed to say it. Someone else was going to say it. So that's where it goes.
Yeah, you know, and I'm still all of us who are ministers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because when I first got when I first started ministry, I was like, I had me a Holy Ghost time before I, you know, before I presented. And then I got up and I didn't say that juicy piece that was so juicy.
That's what I'm talking about.
So good to me. And I didn't say it again. I sat down and I was like, somebody gets up and so God had to teach me.
Yeah.
That it wasn't for you to say.
Yeah.
That was for you personally. That was just for you.
No,
for you. We think it's for everybody.
Right.
But you know, the we have to be the first partaker.
That's right.
Whatever we minister.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
everything that we get out of studying or receiving from God, ain't for us to.
And for the other person, it's for you.
It's just for you. And so we have to teach and train and help other ministers when we get to that, you know, mm-hmm. now that we're at that point, we can say, don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
I understand a lot of ministers.
Oh, yeah.
The rest of ministers and training ministers, we have to teach them that.
Yeah.
Don't
worry about that. Don't let it move you.
Whatever you said, because
that's what you're supposed to say.
See, again, you're talking about the move of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Holy Ghost know what to take out of your mind.
Yeah.
So you don't say it.
That's right. That's right.
Because it'd be so fresh in your head when you get up.
Yeah.
So after you done got it, you're like, how did I forget to say that?
Right.
But the Holy Ghost already blocked your mind that you can't say it.
But the thing is, what you said is for the person. And that's why you get it. That's why you got it, and it make you so excited, because it's really for you. It's for me, and I'm thinking I'm supposed to put it out there for somebody else. And so when you don't say it, hey, it's okay, because it's for you anyway. Yeah. That is great. That is great. Anyone else?
We ran out of time.
Wow.
We ain't out of message, and we're the end of 26.
Well, we didn't even go back to 26.
Next time we'll start on chapter 27. Hallelujah. Awesome, awesome. Any final comments? Amen. Awesome.
We want to thank our guest for being here. Yeah. She is a... Minister Smith, she is an intern over at the JLSCC, so we appreciate her, and we appreciate you coming to Bible study as well. And Miss Ann over here, that's she's pretty much a member, but we're going to claim her as a member, so we appreciate it, and we appreciate our Dr. Ruth and Bishop Kevin Jones, our leaders here at the Bible Word. So God bless. You want to say it? Okay. And now we want to do our offering. You can give through, you can give check, cash, you can pay with a credit card. And those that are out there in Radio Land, you can go into the app, Light War app, and pay your tithes and give your offering. And you know, God is so faithful. And if we plant seed on the word, we'll get it back. And so if we will give, he will give it back. And so at this time, don't wait until 7 o'clock tonight to give your tithes and offerings. You can go on and give your at this time. Give her one. Fill it out, and then you can bring it up. So those of you that are out there, if you would go on and use the app and pay your tithes and give an offering, plant a seed, and then you can text that amount to me at 770-906-0607. That's 770-906-0607. And we'll make sure it is credited towards whatever you are signing it up for. Okay? God bless, and we'll pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we bless you, honor you, we glorify your name, Lord. We lift you up and we give you all the praise, Lord. We thank you for this noonday Bible study, and we thank you for all these excellent people that are here online and in the face-to-face right here at church, Lord. We pray, Lord God, that you will supply every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And as we give, Lord, you will give it back to us, Lord, so we will be able to give again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We are dismissed from this place, and we are praying that everyone have an excellent, excellent evening today, and we pray that the Lord will continue to watch over you as you leave this place, and we welcome everyone to come back for our 7 p.m. Bible study this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Pastor Butterfield, for the word, and all of you that has participated.